In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right. Good morning to everybody out there. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and you're listening to it on 1430 ESPN Radio, your local sports leader. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, as always. This place is already hustling and bustling. They're open Monday through Saturday from 9 to 5, closed on Sundays, and this is the place, man, the place to be on Saturday mornings, the only place where you could get your Letterman's jackets. I do my show from the Letterman's jacket room. They got this cool neon sign right above me, too, that says Letterman's jackets. Like, has that 50s and 60s look. And, it's the classic Letterman's jacket look. I don't think these have changed, well, at least since I was in high school in the 80s. I still got my Letterman's jacket. Still fits me. But, it's the only place where you can get it. They'll customize them for you. They'll fit them. You can put Bible verses. You could put your band patches. It doesn't matter. First String Sports, my sponsors from day one. Love these guys. They do an incredible job here. Lots of action yesterday. Last night was a really, really good night for high school football. And a really awesome night if you're a fan of baseball, and if you're not a Yankee fan, right? Los Angeles Dodgers, Freddie Freeman, Grand Slam, first walk-off Grand Slam in World Series history. Got a little story behind that. So last night, we broadcasted the Madera at Sanger football game. Kickoff was at 7:30. It was actually about 7:37. It was senior night, whenever there's senior night. Or prom, or a homecoming, or whatever, right? It's usually delayed a few minutes. So, Phil Bonatti was doing play-by-play. I was there, and Coach Pat Hill. And Pat Hill, he's a SoCal guy, right? Spent some time playing down there and coaching there. He's a Dodger fan, as am I. So I guess I could say this publicly. We had a phone, and the World Series was on. Also, the UNLV Boise State game was on too. So we were a little bit distracted during the game. So sorry, Madera and Sanger, but we did a good job calling the game. But we were watching both of those games, and vested interest in the Dodger game. And in the bottom of the 10th inning, when it's 3-2, bases were loaded. And we saw that Freeman was coming up. My phone, I had it on my app. So it actually updated about 10 seconds before we saw it on the phone. And I saw it was 6-3 final. And Freeman was walking up to the plate. I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And so I'm like, kind of like touching the shoulders of both Coach Hill and Phil. I'm like, here it comes. And sure enough, Freddie Freeman hits the homer. Coach Pat Hill and I said a couple things on air while there's a play happening in Madera Sanger. I guess you guys can forgive us on that, and the rest is history. So it was a really good night for sports, and like I said, for high school football as well. Sanger came away with that win last night. It wasn't easy. 35-28. Sanger was up 14-0 early. I think they scored pretty easily on the first two drives of the game. Madera was able to do nothing on offense. And we even said this on air. We're like, hey, Madera looks like they are absolutely in trouble. They cannot stop Sanger's offense. They're outmanned. They're outsized. However, Madera doesn't care. Coach Palinelli does a fantastic job with those guys. They kept rallying. They kept making incredible catches. They actually recovered. Check this out. 4 fumbles. Sanger fumbled 4 times, and they lost all 4. And even got an onside kick. They were down 14. Madera did an onside kick, got the ball, scored. That's how it cut it to 7. And Madera actually had a chance to win the football game. With about a minute and 30 seconds left, they had the football in their own territory around the 25-yard line, drove down, And the main reason was they threw a deep pass and went off a Senger defender, landed in the hands of a Madera receiver. He ran to about the 25-yard line and was tackled. Couldn't outrun the coverage. Was tackled. They had four plays. Actually, they got stopped on fourth down. They went for it on fourth and 12. Obviously, you're going for it. And quarterback was sacked. Arellano, the quarterback, was sacked. And that basically ended the game. But, I mean, it was a really good game. It was a really good game. Senger, you know, they got some dudes. Bryson Baker was a dude, three touchdowns on the night. However, don't count out Madera. They did not back down at all. So pretty good football game last night. A lot of good football games. I'm going to get to the scores in just a second. I feel a little guilty, however. I have talked football since we started the show in mid-August. Deservedly so, right? Football gets the most amount of attention in all media, all sports media. I haven't mentioned volleyball this year. The seedings just came out yesterday. Playoffs are going to start on Thursday. But Clovis West, they won the track. They had an incredible match at Clovis North on Friday. They were down 0-2 was the Golden Eagles, and they won the last three. So they went track at 8-2. San Luis Obispo, however, they got the one seed. I think Clovis is the two, Clovis West is a three, and I think Clovis North is the four seed. But volleyball playoffs are starting next week, so I'll be sure to keep you guys abreast of what's going on with the girls' volleyball program. All right, so on the show today, what do I got? Coach Mike Jaycott of Clovis North is coming on after the break. Broncos proved to 7-2, defeated Clovis West 31-9 last night. We all know about Clovis North's story, defending D1 champs, lost two games to some state-ranked teams from SoCal. One was at home, the Los Alamitos on a Saturday, just kind of a weird game. They just weren't in sync, was Clovis North, but they're playing really good football. Clovis East won their game against Buchanan 42-11. So that sets up a huge, huge game next week. Clovis East and Clovis North at La Monica Stadium for a track championship. Both teams are 4-0 and for the number one seed in Division I playoffs. So talk to Coach Mike Jaycott about that. And after he joins us, I got Austin Kemp coming on for about 12, 14 minutes. We were at the Central and Clovis game on Thursday. He went to the Buchanan game last night. Buchanan and Clovis East. We'll talk about those games. We'll preview next week's track championship game. Always love talking with Austin Kemp. At hour number two, the top of the hour, George Takata is coming on. Last week, George was supposed to come on. Circumstances happen, right? But we recovered. We audibled. So George is coming on today. Love talking with him. We're going to talk a little high school sports. Talk about Fresno State. Big game today at 5 o'clock. Homecoming, blackout, talk about Devontae Adams, what the heck's going on with that guy, right? Obviously landed with the Jets, but his separation from the Raiders. George is a huge Raiders guy. Maybe a little baseball memorabilia. He's into baseball cards. He's got some cool stuff. So always fun talking with George. Bottom of hour number two, around 11:30-ish. Speaking of Clovis East, their quarterback, Ty Miller, we had probably mentioned every show this year, deservedly so. Timberwolves are 9-0. He's coming on the show, and when I asked him, he's like, hey, Mr. Meadows, can I bring in some of my linemen? These guys are my unsung heroes of the team. I'm going to bring those guys on. So I said, heck yeah, bring them on too. So I'm actually not sure who's coming on besides Ty, but I know we're going to have a good time, all right? Linemen are, you know, do the grunt work. They keep Ty Miller upright. They open the holes for the running back. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a little bit of a surprise. I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy that. All right, so let's go over some scores before we hit the break and bring on Coach Jaycott. There were actually some pretty good games on Thursday. Let's mention those. Senger West defeated Fresno 34-28. A couple programs that are struggling. Fresno High, unfortunately, wasn't able to get a win in that one. Liberty of Bakersfield 51, Garces 3. Ooh, since Paul Gola left Garces, to go to Independence. That program is just in shambles. Liberty Bakersfield looking strong in that one. Like I said, 51-3. Bakersfield Christian, Darren Carr, they're looking like a high 2 seed. Defeated Independence, the Independence team I just talked about, 38-14. Central defeated Clovis, 41-20. Austin Kemp and I will talk about that. Hanford, 9-0, defeated Mission Oak, 49-0. Setting up that final game against Lemoore, looking to go 10-0, and probably a home game in the first round of the Division I AA bracket. Tulare Union had to come back against Dinuba, 43-29. Tulare Union's on the bubble. They're going to be a D1 team, or they're going to be in that top bracket or a higher seed in the second bracket. All right, Frontier defeated Highland. Frontier's going to be in that top D1 bracket, 41-0. Bullard with a nice comeback win. Actually, no. It was tied 14-14 at San Joaquin Memorial. Bullard actually took a 14-0 lead. Memorial tied it, but the Knights get the final touchdown. 21-14 was the final. Garza held off Edison, 33-26. The game that we had, Sanger and Madera, 35-28. Let's skip down to the East Yosemite League. Golden West defeated Menachie, 45-7. Still only one loss in the season for Golden West. They're going to be a high seed in Division II. Redwood defeated El Diamante, 42-14. Porterville over Mount Whitney, 28-19. McLean, 9-0 for the Highlanders. For the Coach Pancotti All-Star team, doing a great job. Defeated Madera South, 41-13. They were well on their way to be 10-0 and a high seed, I believe, in Division IV. Roosevelt defeated Hoover, 32-6. Chowchilla over Carruthers, 48-7. Coach Alex Pitts has done a phenomenal job. They've only lost one game, talking about the Tribe. Coach Pitts is going to come on the show next week. We're hoping to get him on this week, but his son has a game right now, actually, no, at 11 o'clock. He's helping coach his son's team, so we're going to have him on next week. They're looking really strong. Their offensive coordinator is Mike Parsons, who used to coach Clovis West, Modesto Christian, state title. So lots of storylines for Chowchilla this year. Liberty over Riverdale, 41-19, and Minarets, 42-8. Shafter over Chavez, 56-0. Scrolling down a little bit. Centennial over Stockdale, 40-0. Bakersfield over Ridgeview, 35-0. Bakersfield's probably going to get a 6 or 7 seed in the Division I AA bracket. Central Valley Christian, 26. Washington Union, 0. Kingsburg, 49. Reedley, 14. Exeter over Selma, 28-7. Emmanuel shuts out Hanford West, 43-0. Like I mentioned, Clovis East, 42. Buchanan, 11. Clovis North, 31, Clovis West, 9. Kalinga, still undefeated, 9-0, defeated Tranquility, 55-0. Dos Palos, in a really good one over Fireball, 27-20. Mendota over Avenel, 40-6. Tulare Western over Lemoore, 14-7. Fowler over McFarland, 31-14. All right, there's a little snapshot of some of the games played Thursday and Friday. Coming up next, after the break, we're going to be talking with Clovis North head coach Mike Jaycott. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Got coach Mike Jaycott of the Clovis North Broncos, 7-2 on the season, defeated Clovis West last night, 31-9. They are the defending D1 champions. Next week is the big one, playing Clovis East for not only a track title, but also the number one seed in the playoffs is at stake. So good morning, Mike. I really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for joining us. Just walk us through last night's game against Clovis West. They have some talented athletes. You guys are playing really good football. So just kind of what was the game plan, and walk us through the game last night.
Good morning, Paul. Appreciate you having us on. And game plan, like every week, you know, we want to try to run the ball and be efficient on offense. And, you know, we know we've got some talented weapons on the outside as well. So we're trying to get our quarterback a little more involved. And, you know, I think our offensive guys have done a great job with that. And, you know, using Tyree and Ramsey Ham and our tight ends and getting the ball out on the perimeter a little bit more. So which helps our running backs out, obviously. So that was the plan there, and I thought they did a nice job of that. You know, Clovis West plays, I think, you know, really good defense first and foremost. I think they got some really good players on that side of the ball. You know, they've been running the same, I think, scheme now for the last couple of years since, you know, Eric's been there, and they do a really good job over there on that side of the ball. So we knew we were going to be in for a battle, and it was going to be tough for us. You know, we're going to have to be solid up front, you know, with some of the stunts and things that they do and some of the players they have. So credit to them for how physical they were and how hard they played all night long. Defensively, you know, the quarterback is a real talent for them. We knew we were going to have to, you know, try to keep him in the pocket. You know, and he did a great job of eluding us and buying time and finding receivers down the field. But it was a good test for us, you know, knowing what we were going to be facing, obviously, coming up next week with, you know, Clovis East. So, but I thought our defensive guys played hard again, made stops when they had to, came up with some big plays when they needed to, and we took away hopefully some good lessons that we can use and, you know, coach up and get ready for next week with.
Well, the defense showed up in the second half where you guys outscored them 14-0. It was a 17-9 game at half, and you mentioned the quarterback position, and that's been something of intrigue throughout the season. I know you've rotated some guys, and hey, I appreciate whoever does your stats got them up on Max Preps already, so that's fun to look at. So Lucas Smith, your junior quarterback, was 11 for 15 from completion rate for 139 yards and 3 touchdowns through the air. What impressed you and your coaching staff about his performance?
Well, I think, you know, he's matured. You know, he's had up and down off season. He was in a, you know, we had 3 guys competing throughout the off season, and you know, it was kind of a, I don't know that anybody really won the job when we came in. We kind of said, okay, everyone's going to get an opportunity. And he ended up kind of emerging and kind of getting the kind of the first, okay, you're going to get this full game and whatever game it was, I don't know, game 4, game 5. And then, you know, we ended up the following week going with the other quarterback, with our young quarterback. And so for Lucas, you know, he had to, you know, I was a starter. Now I'm, you know, back in the backup role, but I got to be ready to go. And he kind of got thrust into, you know, the central game there. And, you know, I think, I don't know how prepared he, you know, he really was. You know, I think that was a tough situation for him. And part of that was on us, probably not giving him enough reps throughout the week, but he's embraced the role. He, again, coach has a lot of confidence in him to open up the offense. You know, teams are going to, you know, load the box like I would against our offense. you know, we've got to be able to take advantage or at least try to take advantage of some of the stuff. And I think our offensive guys are doing an awesome job of that and creating ways to hopefully take advantage of some of the one-on-one coverage on the perimeter. And Lucas has done a nice job of just being efficient and really taking care of the football, especially with the added responsibility of now you're not just handing off, and you got to find open receivers and you got to make the right reads and get the ball out. So he's done a nice job with that.
McKay Madsen, Ramsey Ham, and Tyree Sams all had touchdown catches for Clovis North last night, and then went over Clovis West. Coach, you feel like right now, watched your games the last couple of weeks, like you guys are playing your best football at the right time, correct? You're finally healthy. Offensive line is playing really well right now. Is this the best football you think you guys have played this season?
I think I don't know if it's the best football complete, you know, on both sides of the ball, or all 3 phases, I should say. I think we definitely have gotten better each week. The one thing that we really talked about throughout the summer and heading into fall camp was, you know, we felt like, you know, we got a chance to, you know, make a run, but, you know, it's going to be different than it was last year. You know, we got some young guys in key positions for us. You know, we return only 1 offensive lineman. You know, and that's kind of been a little bit of a revolving door for us throughout the year, just because of injuries and whatnot. So, those guys have had to learn and get game experience for us to take steps forward. And, we've had some growing pains, and I pay credit to, again, just our staff and the players for the way they prepare week in and week out, not only schematically, but just the attention to detail on the fundamentals and just recognizing, hey, for us to get better next week, these are the things that we have to do. And that's been our focal point every week. Like, I really could not tell you. I have no idea what Clovis East looks like. I know they're talented, but I have not seen one game. I've seen some highlights, obviously, and we're going to dive into them today. But, our focus has been really on us and our upcoming opponent, and knowing that for us to do the things that, we want to do, we were going to have to be playing our best football at this time of year and rolling into, and we had to, get better from where we started, and credit to our guys for doing that. So, yeah, we're definitely playing better than we were at the beginning of the season. Some guys have emerged that I don't know that we thought were going to be guys for us initially, and have created value, as far as depth goes, and be able to rotate or play one guy on one side of the ball because another guy is stepping up on the other side. And so that's really helped us as well. So we're definitely going in the right direction at the right time, that's for sure.
Well, I want to explore that a little bit more. You talked about, different personnel that you maybe didn't think you were going to put in this year that have played an important role to where you guys are at now. Just comparing a bit last year to that magical season you had to this year, just things really fell into place last year. The guys were in right spots, and the coaching staff did an amazing job putting the guys in the right positions to succeed. But this year, probably a little bit different, more expectations, maybe even some more questions. You guys are definitely the hunted this year. How has you and your coaching staff adjusted to the, just a different year with some different guys, but also returning some really good players?
Well, I think we've talked with our players extensively, but, reality and expectations. And, we all have our expectations, and we all have the things that we want to do, but, let's live in reality and where we're at and what's our reality today, And that went all the way back to, last January, we, right off the bat, where is it that we need to – what guys need to physically develop, need to put some weight on, need to get stronger. I mean, these are guys that we're expecting to play for us, and what guys need to get faster, what guys, whatever that is at that time. And I think our staff and the players, again, have done a tremendous job of saying, okay, coach, you're telling me I need to do this at this time of year. Okay, I'm going to focus on that. And I think that's been the process for us is, whatever that time of year is, we focus on the things that we need to get done and to make us the best player that we can be when it's time to play. And now it's time to play. We got other things that we're focusing in on. And, like I said, coming into the season, I think our offensive line was probably our biggest question mark. And we knew we had some good players there, but they're all brand new. I mean, not one guy other than Preston, our left tackle, had varsity reps on the offensive side of the ball last year. So that was we knew we were going to, go through some growing pains there, especially I think people, I don't know, the average fan can really appreciate the amount of work that our players and our staff put into, our run game. Yes, we have obviously two phenomenal running backs and make us look a lot better than we really are, but our offensive line and our O-line coach and our offensive coordinator and our tight end coach, they do an unbelievable job just with adjusting schemes and technique and things, taking, hey, they're going to start attacking us this way. We need to maybe switch up this blocking scheme. And then getting the guys to be able to execute it. And I don't know that gets enough appreciation, and especially with a young group. Last year's group, we had three-year guys on the line, and so a little easier to get done with those guys. But this year, the guys have kind of taken the right steps again at the right time, and I think we're hopefully getting ready to play our best football, that's for sure.
Talking with Mike Jacot, the head coach at Clovis North. All right, so you hinted on one of those two star running backs, Jackson Sinfield, who had a really good game last night, over 100 yards rushing. But you got a dude that compliments him, plays on the defensive end, McKay Madsen. And last week against Buchanan, he had one of the more remarkable games. I wish I would have watched that game. In Central Section history, I mean, gosh, how many times has a kid scored three rushing touchdowns on the ground, two picks, one what made the highlights, an incredible pick from the safety position, and then a fumble recovery. He's, you know, he's a three-star guy. He's got Oregon after him, BYU, all the Ivy Leagues. What impresses you most, Coach, about the impact that he can make on a football game? Case in point, what he did last week against Buchanan.
First of all, he is a one in a – I've never coached a young man like him, you know, just the complete package, so to speak, you know, as far as off the field especially, just an unbelievable young man, comes from a great family, obviously. But he is I think it's the way he handles pressure. He has a unique ability that when, you know, he knows when he's starting to drift or he's start maybe not focused or locked in. And I think that comes from, you know, what the track program does with him and his, you know, individual, you know, competition type stuff where, you know, he's got to lock in and, you know, they do some training and, you know, that's such a technical sport, both, you know, the shot and the disc that he does. And when things can go sideways, you know, you can get down and, you know, I'm not PRing or whatever, and he'll go through some funks and, you know, and then be able to, you know, pull out of it. And then, you know, it just seems like he's able to perform at the times that we need him to perform. And, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are times where I'm like, okay, what the heck are you doing? and he'll just look at me and he'll nod and yeah, I know. But then again, it's like when you need it, he finds a way to, you know, lift everybody up. And he's never sitting there going, well, how come I'm not getting more carries? Or how come you don't put me down, you know, near the ball more so I get more tackles? Okay, wherever you need me to play, I'll play. And if I need to help pull the offense along, I'll do that. If I need to help pull the defense along, I'll do that. If you need me to go block, I'll do that. He's one of those unique, you know, special individuals, and you know, it's been a privilege to have him, you know, and be able to coach him. So
do you find yourself becoming just like being in awe of some of the plays that he's made, or just like, oh, okay, there's McKay, yeah, he's making that play, okay, give McKay the ball here. Like, do you find yourself, I don't know, not necessarily a fan, but just like you mentioned, he's a once in a decade player, he's an incredible kid. You find yourself just kind of like, oh my gosh, that's McKay again.
You know, I think it, yes, it's one of those things where, you know, now you start to expect it. And especially for his size, you know, and you watch him move and, you know, and he's 230 pounds or whatever he is right now. And, you know, he can really move like, you know, he's 190 and, he's got great speed. But I find myself now, I mean, more and more, you know, when I first moved out this way and, you know, the level of the talent that's here in this valley and, you know, on our team alone, just, you know, I think this is one of the more talented groups in terms of skill athletes. I mean, Tyree is, and if you would have been at the game last night, the touchdown run that he had, actually it went down as a pass because it was a forward, you know, shuffle on a fly sweep. But, I mean, it was an unbelievable run. You know, he broke a tackle on, you know, in the backfield, made a guy miss, and he was up the sideline, and a phenomenal run. But then, you know, he is an unbelievable young man, too, and great to coach, came into our program. You know, he's so coachable. He's, you know, kind of unfazed. He's, you know, he's hard on himself, but, you know, he's another one. And then Jackson, watching the runs that he makes, the way he stays on his feet. So I'm finding myself more and more, you know, and I said this last year with our guys, because, you know, we're fortunate to have some very special kids here at Clovis North. And I find myself just as a fan when I'm in the weight room with them. I find myself as a fan watching them probably too much now, especially last night. The play they made. It was it was, I'm at a place now where I can appreciate what they do a lot more, that's for sure.
All right. That's Coach Mike Jaycott of Clovis North. Mike, always appreciate you coming on, talking football. You've done an amazing job with that program. Your kids play with passion and precision. And whenever your kids are on my show, they're always respectful. They always are a team-first guy. So that's a testament to you and your program. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you. And good luck next week. That's going to be a heck of a football game.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me on and everything that you do for the Valley and local sports.
All right. Appreciate you too, Mike. All right. Have a good rest of your weekend. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. That was Mike Jaycott. Yep. It's going to be a heck of a game next week for all the marbles in the central section in D1 and in the track. And, we're going to have that game on 1430 ESPN. That's a no-doubter. Excited for that one. All right. Good job by Mike. We got Austin Kemp coming up. He's going to be joining us via the phone. We're going to be talking about some more track schools, and we're going to be previewing that game. I know Mike's like, I haven't seen much about Clovis East yet, but we're going to dive in right now. So we'll let Austin Kemp and I, we'll break that down a little bit more for you guys. You're listening to Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Little Boston. Love the intro. Good choice there, Jorge. We got Austin Kemp on the line. Just had a really good conversation with Coach Mike Jaycott. He's a smart coach, man. Jaycott, he's smart. He pushes his kids. He likes precision. He likes excellence, which all coaches should, right? All championship coaches should. And so Mike Jaycott, big game, Clovis North and Clovis East next Friday. We'll be on the call for that one. Be talking about that a lot this coming week leading up to that game. And Austin right now is on the line. We broadcasted a game last Friday, Clovis East and Clovis. He does a great job covering the track, goes to games all the time. So, Austin, what's going on this morning? I know this is a perfect time for you to come on because it looks like Ohio State and Nebraska is at halftime, 14-6.
Yeah, it worked out perfectly. They're at halftime. It's been an ugly game. So not in the best mood, but I'm always down to talk and track football.
Well, hopefully this will get you in a better mood talking about high school sports. So you mean you're not watching the Georgia State, Appalachian State game, which was 2-0 at halftime? How about that?
No,
at least you're not watching that one.
That one's not on my TV. I have a few games going. I got the quad box on, but Appalachian State and Georgia State didn't quite make the cut.
It didn't make your top four.
It didn't. That's there's better ones on than that one.
All right. So we saw a pretty good football game on Thursday. I want to start with that and then go to last night's game and then preview East and North. So Clovis and Central. A lot of questions about Clovis going to that one. Central, obviously those two losses to North and East, but they got a young team, kind of thin. But they got some dudes. I tell you what, the score isn't really indicative of how much Central dominated. Ended up being 41-20. Clovis got a late touchdown to get to 20. Impressions on that, man? Are you more concerned if you're a Clovis fan, or are you like pretty darn excited if you're a Central fan, or somewhere in between?
I think I'm a little bit of both, honestly. We talked a lot about Central coming into the year, having a young team, but just being so loaded with talent and in the freshman class and the sophomore class and the junior class. So it was a lot of inexperienced players, but so much talent. And they had some bumps early in the season. They had some close games in non-league. They lost to North by a score. They lost to Clovis East by a score. But they're starting to really play better, and their defensive line gets after you. They're super well coached on both sides of the ball. And the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks, you can see that team getting so much better. And, you know, they were they're maybe, like, 2 or 3 plays away from even being undefeated in the track. So, Central's starting to really figure things out, and they're going to be dangerous when the playoffs come. But, you know, on the Clovis side, they kind of had, as we've talked about as well, just a pretty easy non-league schedule, and they were able to blast some teams early on. But now that they're playing these games against Clovis North and Clovis East and Central, where the talent is a lot more equated, They're really struggling to not only move the ball, but they're really struggling on defense to stop anyone. So I think if you're a Central fan or you're a Central player, someone on that staff, you should be super fired up, because I think they are going to be a major factor in the 1AA playoffs. But on the Clovis side, it's really going the other way. And I would be quite concerned, and I think I'd be more concerned with not so much the talent, but just kind of the position that some of these players are being put in on defense. As we saw them play Clovis East and Central, I just don't think they're being set up for success right now.
Yeah, we, both games we were able to watch with our own eyeballs, and playing zero coverage, no safety help, just challenging the guys. And, yeah, the secondary for Clovis is really strong. But, hey, that sophomore quarterback, Austin, I got the numbers after the game. 5 touchdown passes for Jelani Dipple to 5 different players, threw for 312 yards. So that kid is starting to figure out. He's come a long way since that first game at home against Clovis North in the track where, I mean, admittedly, things were going really, really fast for him in that game. It wasn't very slow, but it against Clovis, he looked really, really good. And I think Central's going to be locked in at that number 3 seed in the Division I playoffs. They're next week they're going to be playing Buchanan at home. So unless they get tripped up there, they're pretty much locked in as a 3 seed. Clovis, that game next week against Clovis West, culminating all Clovis week, that's no gimme now. And if Clovis falls in that one, they might get, a 7 or 8 seed in that D1 bracket.
No, that next week's game is no gimme at all. Clovis definitely the favorite, I'd say, heading into that against Clovis West. But, again, no gimme. And, like you mentioned, we've seen Clovis High play this cover zero look the last 2 weeks. It wasn't successful against Clovis East. It certainly wasn't successful against Central. And, if they come out the same way against Clovis West, I'm not saying Clovis West is going to win that game, but, in that defense, you're one missed tackle away from giving up a 70 or 80 yard touchdown on any given play. And Clovis West, they have some athletes that can make you pay if you miss a tackle. So it'll be very interesting to see if Clovis High comes out and plays that same style of defense, because if they do, I think that's going to be close, because I think Clovis West will break some big ones. And just to touch real quick again on that Central game, that total yardage difference, I think it was like 505 to like 150 in favor of Central. So again, it's just a defense that's giving up a lot of yards and a lot of points. And when you give up a lot of yards and points, I think you could lose on any given day.
Let's talk about Clovis East and Buchanan. You went to that game last night, 42-11. Got Ty Miller and some dudes coming on the show around 11:30. So excited about that. So was it just like business as usual, Ty being Ty, just the defense doing a good job?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a slow start for Clovis East. I think it was like 7-5 at the end of the first quarter. Clovis East gave up a safety, and, Buchanan kicker actually hit a 49-yard field goal, which was not something you see every day in high school football. But it was a slow start, but they got some things going. Maybe, I don't want to say they were, but maybe they were looking ahead a little bit to next week's showdown against Clovis North. But, once the second quarter came around, Ty Miller started hitting some passes to Matthew and Duvall. One key player I noticed that was out was Clovis East running back Lindsey Graves. We saw him leave the Clovis game like late in the third quarter without returning, and he didn't play yesterday as well. So
I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be good for next week.
I'm sure he'll be fine. Maybe they were holding him out for the following week, but you could tell that they maybe lacked that dimension a little bit in the run game. But overall, I mean, they put up, 45 points. So after that first quarter, they were pretty much same old Clovis East and pretty hard to defend.
All right, so let's talk about that big game next week. And I'm on the Clovis East Max Preps page. Just look at these scores, Austin. So week one, right, 24-21, that game in Utah where they traveled, it was just a wild itinerary, got a late field goal to win that one. That's been like the Central game actually ended up being close, but check out these point totals, 24, 55, 56, 59, 38, 44, 34, 52, 42. That's a potent offense. So what does Clovis North, let's say defensively, Coach Jaycott said, yeah, we're going to start looking at the film right now. So defensively, what do you think Clovis North has to do to stop that offense?
It kind of goes hand in hand with the offense a little bit. Like, they have to be able to be efficient on offense and not give and just limit Clovis East possessions. But strictly on defense, I think when you defend an offense like that, you know, I think it's super important that you create pressure with just your front four. I think teams get in trouble against Clovis East when they feel like they have to bring five or six, or I know we saw Clovis bring seven guys sometimes. And when you bring that much pressure, it puts a lot of stress on the guys on the back end. And when you have all those receivers and running backs coming out of the backfield like Clovis East has, it's almost like, in my mind, at the high school level, it's almost impossible to stop that. So I think Clovis North, they can do it. They have as physical as an offensive and defensive line as possible, but specifically defensive line, if they can create pressure and get to Miller and get him off his spot with just four, I think they could win that game. But it goes kind of hand in hand with that offense of Clovis North of getting first downs and controlling the clock and really limiting those possessions, which I think they have a chance to do as well.
And Clovis North all of a sudden now has added an extra dimension, right? At the quarterback position, Lucas Smith completed 11 of 15 passes for 139 yards and three touchdowns. You know, Sam's, and you've seen him in person. Sam's is, he's a track star. And Coach Jaycott said he took one of those, you know, short passes, a jet sweep type pass, and just made an incredible run for a touchdown, something they didn't have last year. So Clovis East now, right, are they in a little bit of a quandary? What are they going to have to focus on? Because if they're hitting some of those passes, then that running game is going to open up. And if the running game is being, you know, slowed down a little bit, then the passing game could be there too for the Broncos.
Yeah, it's interesting because I pound for pound, I think Clovis North's team last year was probably a little bit better overall because of some of those senior offensive linemen and the quarterback they lost. But like you said, when you add Tyree Sams to that receiver room for Clovis North this year, that is definitely a dimension they didn't have last year. And last year you could maybe kind of convince yourself, you know what, we're going to stack the box, we're going to stop the run, we're going to put all of our resources to stopping Clovis North's run game last year. And, teams did that unsuccessfully, I'd say. But this year, if you choose to do that, you have, the fastest player in the section lined up at receiver. So it'll bite you if you commit that many resources to just the run game. Overall, I mean, Clovis North is a running team, and that's what they're going to do. So you probably do sell out to stop the run, but man, it really puts you in a weird spot when you have to defend a guy that's going to run a 10 500 meter. So I'm so excited for that game because the styles of the two teams are so much different. And I think it's going to be a classic. I think it's going to be a one score. Whoever probably turns the ball over less is going to come up with the win.
All right, I'm putting you on the spot. You say it's going to be a one-score game. We got a minute and a half right now. Austin, give me a score. I'm putting you in the hot seat. What do you got?
Oh, man. Okay, so, I think I've overthought this the whole year. I love this Clovis East offense. I've told people, I think this is one of the better offenses you're ever going to see in our section. With that said, at the end of the day, you still have to tackle Madsen and Sinful and Sands, and I just don't think there's a lot of high school kids in our area that are going to do that for four quarters. So I'll go Clovis North 30-27.
Clovis North 30-27. All right, let me write this down on my notes here. All right. You called it. All right. We'll see how it plays out. Well, according to Max Preps, it says it's going to be a 7:30 start, not the normal 7 o'clock start. So it's going to be a good one. We're going to be broadcasting that one on 1430 ESPN. Excited about that. I'm sure, Austin, you and I are going to be texting each other about this game and talking about this game as well. All right. What's your final prediction for Ohio State and Nebraska? It's still 14-6. What's your final score on this?
It's 14-6. The spread was like 28 with the way they're playing, this might be one of those ugly 27-14 type wins that the whole fan base is upset about. So I'll go like 27-14 for this final.
All right. A win's a win, I guess, right? But you prefer blowouts in a game like this.
Hey, good teams win, great teams cover.
All right. Good job by you, AK. Appreciate you as always. Good breakdown, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, we'll come on around 11:05 or so before you hit the Sports Center break. We're going to have George Takata by phone. Always love talking with George. It's going to be a great conversation. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, we made it to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Just had a fun hour number one. I don't think I've ever had a not fun part of the show. I mean, gosh, get to talk about sports for 2 hours on ESPN Radio. Absolute blast. And in all my haste to get information to you guys, talk about scores, high school football, I forgot to do our Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report. Right now, 67 degrees. Beautiful out there. High of 82. Kickoff for the Bulldogs game. It's going to be 80 degrees at 5 o'clock. Monday, I think Monday is when we start to see the real cool down. High of 67 degrees on Monday. Football playoff weather is officially here. Officially here. So excited about all the high school sports that they're coming up next week. We preview the Clovis North and Clovis East football game. It's going to be a whopper of a game. Excited for that one. And a lot of rivalry games in the final week of the regular season. Clovis and Clovis West, obviously, as well. All right, time to bring in one of my guys, George Takata. Love this guy. Friend of the show. Comes on at least once a year, sometimes twice a year. We talk about Fresno State, professional sports, a little bit about high school. He's the director of communications for Reedley College, TV personality, and MC extraordinaire. Whenever George is emceeing an event, I know, you know, he's got a lot of jokes. He's got humor. He likes to kid around, and he's had some of the great zingers in MC history, some of the Hall of Fame events, Clovis Unified. So George, always good to talk to you, my friend. How you doing this fine Saturday morning?
I'm doing great, Paul. Thanks for having me. And speaking of that, I'm emceeing once again, I think, for the eighth or ninth year, the Clovis Unified Athletic Hall of Fame next Saturday night at Clovis North. And I'll have some zingers for Billy Volek. You can that's guaranteed right there.
Put it on the board, automatic. And one of my favorites, though, honestly, is, and you had me dying, Janet Young was a superintendent at Clovis Unified, and you just did this passing joke that, I don't know, maybe I only really caught, but you said, okay, Dr. Young, we'll see you at the after party. We'll talk a little bit more after that.
Right. Yeah, she's not one to go to those kind of things. So you always like to, you know, it's always about the people in the event that make it special, right? That's their big moment or whatever. But if you can throw in a little, you know, fun little joke every now and then, maybe even a dad joke that I'm famous for now, then it's always nice to do that, but always, you know, try to keep a level of seriousness to it too.
No, you do. You do a great job with that. And Billy Volek, I mean, where's Billy living right now? Is he still in San Diego, former Clovis West alum like yourself?
I think he is. I haven't spoken to him in a long time. So that's what makes this event so special, is that you get to see people that you haven't seen in a while. Like over the years, I hadn't seen McKay Christensen in so long. And then he came from Utah for this event. And we just, you know, we reminisced like it was just yesterday, the good old days. And Damian Richardson a couple of years ago, I got to talk to him, football, Clovis West, call him the professor for all his time at Arizona State. And we reconnected. So it's going to be like that again with Billy and all the other inductees coming up next weekend. So that's always fun. I'm honored to do it all the time for Clovis Unified because I'm a Clovis Unified kid. So it's going to be a great night.
So that's Saturday at Paul Sheguine Hall? Next Saturday?
Saturday, a week from today. Yep, next Saturday
Ooh,
night. 5
all
o'clock,
right.
It's free admission. Come on out.
All right, yeah. I'm glad you told me about that. That's it's always a fun event. I like to check that out. You know, I definitely will talk about what's going on currently in sports and what's going on with Devontae Adams, too. But I know you met Marcus Allen. I think you told me, like, you were nervous when you met Marcus Allen. Have there been some other interviews that you're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe, like, I'm literally interviewing this person right now?
Yeah, there's been a couple of occasions like that. Kobe Bryant, when the Lakers came to the Save Mart Center for an exhibition game, and Save Mart Center just opened up. It was the Lakers playing preseason there. Mike Brown was the head coach at the time. And I just remember standing right in front of Kobe and asking about the arena. I really didn't know. I mean, you get your composure at some point during the interview, but in the beginning, you're like, holy cow, it's, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know. And then I think Dwight Howard was on the team too, and we took a picture together. So that was kind of fun. But Kobe was one of those guys where you're a little bit intimidated. And then Michael Jordan, I just met him and didn't interview him, but it was when he was coming for those camps, the Anderson Bradley camps, and he was golfing, and Bobby said, hey, you want to go meet Mike? And I said, sure. And he was buying a pair of shoes in the clubhouse or whatever at Copper River and shook his hand. So that was kind of a nervous moment, but those are the two things that come up. And Super Bowl media day, Super Bowl 37, when it was the Broncos and the Packers, just to be around that, I just started my career at Channel 47, so I went right to the Super Bowl a few months after I got hired. That was pretty intimidating. I got to interview Stuart Scott, Rebecca Romaine, and then I asked Brett Favre a question from far away, because, you know, once the quarterbacks are talking in those situations, you don't get too close. So early on, I got nervous in my career when I was interviewing people like that. But then over the years, it just kind of went away.
Yeah, it becomes natural, right? They put their pants on just like everybody else, one leg at a time, right?
Well, yeah, the only thing different is their paycheck.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They were waking up in usually a better house than you and I. And, you know, I felt like that a bit. George, with broadcasting games with Pat Hill, and we've done it for the last three years. A couple weeks ago, it was just Pat and I, and gosh, I mean, Pat knows more about football, you know, than I will ever even pretend to know. So I was nervous about that, but Pat's so great, and he's so complimentary, and he makes you look really good. So yeah, I definitely know, you know, how you felt in your early career, just kind of being a little bit nervous, like, how's it going to go? But yeah, you just let your personality take over, and hopefully you don't make too many mistakes and look too dumb. I know Coach Hill last night, he was making fun of me because I called a certain route a button hook. And he's like, Metters, I don't think they've used the term button hook as a route since the 1970s. So he was jazzing me all broadcast about that. He's like, oh, they should run a button hook here just for Metters. So anyways.
You know, I did a radio show with Jerry Tarkanian for two seasons, during basketball season only. And I felt like that in the beginning, but, you know, he just makes things so easy. And when you get to know Tark, and this was after I covered his team, so it was kind of more of a comfort zone compared to you and Coach Hill. And then with Coach Hill, I kind of started with him. He started his head coaching career at the same year I started my TV career. So we're both new at what we were doing. And so I really didn't know Coach Hill. So we kind of, you know, grew in our professions together, if you will. But with Tark, it was kind of intimidating at first because he would book the guests, you know, and I'm just the host. And sometimes he didn't book guests until like 5 minutes before the show started. I'm like, Coach, what are we doing? Well, I'm trying to get a hold of Digger Phelps, and he's not calling back. And we'll get somebody. I'm like, holy cow. So, but, you know, he was always the entertainer. He didn't know he was much of an entertainer, but he actually was, and had a really quick wit about him, and we became friends. And so that was a lot of fun, those two seasons we did that.
I know you are a Fresno State super fan. You know, love to talk Bulldog sports with you. You're a hardcore silver and black guy with the Raiders. Devontae Adams, just your perspective, just kind of, you know, how they did Derek Carr dirty, and just kind of like, what's your perspective on, you know, what's going on with that franchise, and how did, you know, did they treat, you know, Devontae dirty as well, all these promises, playing with Derek, and then, I mean, just how did that all go sour?
Well, the promises that were made with Devontae and Derek were with Josh McDaniels. You know, that has nothing to do with Antonio Pierce. You know, Derek left, and they released him eventually, obviously, and then the last two games of the year, even though they were mathematically alive for the playoffs, they told him not to be around the team anymore, and I'm sure that ticked Devontae off. And so that was the whole Josh McDaniels, Dave Ziegler era, if you will, 2 years in the era, whatever. But I'm sure Devontae wasn't happy with that. I think that was kind of the beginning of the end, because then you don't know, well, who's the quarterback? And so Devontae had Jarrett Stidham, and then he had Jimmy Garoppolo, and then he had Aiden O'Connell, and then Gardner Minshew. It's probably the worst four quarterbacks he's ever been with in one franchise. But I noticed this year, with Devontae, he wasn't a captain for the Raiders this year. You know, last season he was. And I was like, that's really weird that your best offensive player and you're one of your two best players on the team is not even a captain. And so when I saw that, I was like, well, there's some problems here, you know, whether there's some turmoil within the locker room or the coaching staff. You know, Devontae made those comments on a Netflix show that some guys really didn't like from what I hear. And then, you know, he was away from the team for an extended period of time for the birth of his son, which I understand, but normally it's not 10 days. Then there was like, I'm not playing in the preseason. And Antonio Pierce said, everybody's going to play in the preseason. And then some mysterious injury comes around. Devontae didn't play in the preseason. So I don't know. But when I noticed that captain's patch wasn't on him during the start of the season, I'm like, he's not going to be here for much longer. There's got to be some bigger things going on. So hopefully he's in a better place in New York. Actually, they suck too, just like the Raiders do. So he wants to be around his buddies. And because I don't think the Jets are going to make the playoffs. I don't think Devontae's the answer there. 2-5 is tough to recover from. So I'd like to see what happens with Devontae in the next couple of years. You know, he was great. I enjoyed his time with Derek with the Raiders, but I knew he wasn't happy. So,
well, and there's just certain athletes that don't look right in uniforms. And even Aaron Rodgers, right? He kind of looks like what the Great Gazoo from the Flintstones. He doesn't, you know, with that helmet, he doesn't look right in that uniform. And Devontae, right? I can't see him in the Jets uniform. I mean, I do, obviously, I have to, but it just doesn't look right.
Well, the Jets uniform isn't all that nice to look at anyway. In a Raider uniform. Everybody looks good in a Raider uniform. Everybody looks good in Yankee pinstripes. Everybody looks good in certain, you know, uniforms. I think everybody looks good. I hate to say this. But I think everybody looks good in a Laker uniform. You know, it's just because of the way it looks, first of all, but then the history and tradition or whatever. It's like, but Emmitt Smith didn't look good in a Cardinals uniform.
No.
Joe Montana didn't look good in a Chiefs uniform.
No.
You know, Joe Namath didn't look good in a Rams uniform. There's just certain things that just don't look right. And Rodgers and Adams in Jets uniforms definitely doesn't look normal.
I know, it's definitely not the Packers, right? The tradition of the Packers colors and that great color scheme there.
Everybody looks good in green and gold, too.
It's true. It's a good point. All right, so Niners. We know what's going on with their team. We've got a lot of Niners fans that are listening right now. Tons of injuries. Should fans be concerned, right? The window of opportunity, unless you're the Chiefs, I guess. I mean, even though, you know, their defense is not taking over the offense. Like, the window, we talk about Josh Allen, too, of opportunity to win a Super Bowl can close really, really quickly. Should 49ers fans be concerned right now?
A little bit. I mean, they're just so good that I think they're going to recover from it. And, you know, when they have great depth of running back, obviously, Jordan Mason has been incredible there for that position for Christian McCaffrey. So you don't have to worry about that, even though the best running back in the league hasn't even played yet. You know, but the receiver part, if the Niners can get Deebo back this weekend against Dallas, I think they'll be fine. But to lose Ayuk has just been, you know, a really tough blow. And then Deebo didn't play last week because he had that pneumonia thing. So now you got to, you know, rely on Ricky Pearsall and some guys who don't normally – you know, have a good rhythm with Brock Purdy in there in a must-win situation against Dallas. The good thing is it's Dallas, and the Niners kind of own them.
True.
So, and then they still have injuries on, you know, on linebacker with Greenlaw and things like that. But I think if there's one team that can recover from this right now, it's the 49ers because they're just so elite, and I think they make the right moves at the right times. They've got good depth. They've got great coaching. And I think they've got a front office that they can identify somebody to help them out until some of these guys get back. I think they'll be fine. But Brock Purdy needs to find a rhythm with these receivers that don't normally play. I think he'll throw it to George Kittle a lot this weekend, tomorrow. So I would look for that. You know, but if Deebo can get somehow play a little bit, that would be a tremendous lift for the 49ers. But I think they're going to be fine. But if they lose a couple more in a row, if that happens, they'll be in trouble then. But if they can beat Dallas this weekend, they'll be okay. I still think they're going to squeak in and be a wild card at least.
Well, speaking of the Dallas and Niners game, whoever wins that game is going to be have some momentum. Whoever loses this game, like right, like I mean, the fan base and the franchise, they're going to be depressed, right? I mean, the loser of that game, it's not going to get any lower for the season.
Right. Well, the Cowboys have. I don't know how you go into the season with the running backs that they have.
Gosh,
I mean, they cannot run the ball. Like Ezekiel Elliott's 51 years old, you know, and then the other guy, Dowdle, he's an unproven guy. They just can't run the ball, which makes Dak Prescott one-dimensional, which makes him look the way he's been looking. So, and then their defense has given up just so many points, like to New Orleans and Detroit. Like, they've got much bigger issues than the 49ers do, and that's why I think the Niners are gonna win. Plus, the Niners are at home. But, you know, Dallas may not even make the playoffs because Washington is good, even though Jaden Daniels is hurt. You know, the Eagles have Barkley, and they're good. So there's been a resurgence there, especially with the Commanders, who kind of been a surprise team this season. So Dallas is in a lot more trouble than the Niners are, for sure.
All right, let's stick with football a bit. So Reedley College, how are they performing this season? Like, how's junior college football around the valley?
Well, beautiful weather for a kickoff at 1 o'clock at Reedley High School. Reedley opens up college conference play, I should say, against Modesto JC. But you know, the Tigers are 3-3. They've lost some tough ones. They've played some statewide ranked teams in Butte and San Mateo, two teams that were ranked in the top 10 and didn't come out on the right side of that. But, you know, the second season started for us. I guess I can say us because I work there. Coach Rob Hartenfeld does a great job with – we have a lot of – if you look at the Reedley roster or our roster, it's just 90% local guys. And so we really – you know, he's stressed that since he's come there. Less guys from out of state, more guys from around here to attract more fans and parents and what have you. So Tigers are 3-3. They got four games, conference games coming up, and then the big one at the end at Ratcliffe in a few weeks against Fresno City. So optimistic, but Fresno City's pretty good. Modesto is a good team. So hoping we can win the conference title and get to a bowl game and see what happens there. And Fresno City is always good. We know that. And when they get to league play, that they've usually been the top dogs, so trying to change that.
All right, so where were you last night when you saw Freddie Freeman's grand slam?
My girlfriend's school's football game, Los Banos and Golden Valley.
Did you just see the update, or were you watching it?
We were watching the game on my phone. It was because I was live streaming it on my phone, and it was the Univision broadcast. And so we were watching it in Spanish as Freddie Freeman hit a grand slam to win that. Just, but, you know, I was watching the Tigers. Unfortunately, they came up a little bit short last night in overtime. But, you know, and then unfortunately, because I'm not a Dodger fan, unfortunately the Dodgers won. So, but it was a great game to watch. Two great games to watch at the same time, Paul.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we were broadcasting the game, and Coach Hill and I are both Dodger fans. And so my phone, my app was actually like 15 seconds ahead of the TV. So we were watching the UNLV Boise game on one phone and then the Dodgers Yankees on the other. And all of a sudden my app said 6-3 Dodgers, and Freddie Freeman was just coming up in the box. And so I was like, oh, my gosh, guys, brace for this. This is going to be pretty wild. So that was a fun moment for me and Coach.
You know, if we get six more games like that or whatever, because I think it's still going to go seven, it's going to be one of the best World Series of all time. But it really, if this is the next topic we're talking about, Aaron Judge needs to step it up a little bit.
Obviously, a little bit.
One for five with three strikeouts last night. Did hit that epic two-run homer in the ALCS against Cleveland that the Yankees eventually lost. But you don't want, you know, my guy, Aaron Judge, he doesn't want to be known as a guy who chokes in the postseason, but right now he's not getting the job done. So hopefully for you hope he doesn't get it right. But for me, I'm hoping that he can kind of, you know, have a three-hit game and get on track.
Well, yeah, if the Yankees, you know, do win the World Series, I'll be happy for Judge. I can admit that. I mean, he's one of your favorites of all time, if not your favorite. So, yeah, I mean, all of the Valley and Linden, California, root for him, and, you know, towns from up north as well. George, so homecoming, Fresno State, 5 o'clock, San Jose State, blackout, Ron Cox, in the Ring of Honor. So,
love it.
Ron Cox, so do you remember watching him play at all? Because I remember how dominant he was. 26 sacks in one season? Unheard of.
Yeah, 50 sacks. For his career at Fresno State, all-time program record. I think the next highest is Jethro Franklin. He had 31 or something like that. So that's kind of like a record that stood the test of time since the 80s, 90s, early 90s. And I you know, I was on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and I think someone put up a poll like who should be the next inductee in the Ring of Honor. I'm like, Ron Cox. He's the first even, you know, I predicted it, and thankfully it came true, and I feel like a genius, but he should be up there. I mean, it's like, you know, he's the first defensive player to go up. I'm like, what? How come there's no defensive guys up here yet? Who should be the first defensive player? Like, Ron Cox, and everybody knows it who's lived in the Central Valley for a long time. He's just so dominant. Like, you know, you look forward to seeing the defense on the field because you wanted to see Ron sack the quarterback. And
yeah,
he did that
exactly.
Often. I think he had 6 sacks in 1 game. And then he won a Super Bowl. And he's a Fresno guy. He's just the perfect person to put up there to be the first defensive player up on the Ring of Honor. I'm very happy for him. Great guy and just a fun guy to cover. Well, I didn't cover him. I was just a kid, but I covered his pro career a little bit after, you know, the years passed and we got inducted all the Hall of Fame stuff. But just happy for him and hope he enjoys his night.
What do you want to see from Fresno State on the football field tonight?
I want to see Mikey Keen not turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Because if Mikey Keen doesn't turn the ball over, obviously less turnovers equal, you know, better chance to win. You know, it's a no-brainer type thing. But it starts with him. He's kind of turned it over a lot more than normal, a lot more than fans want to see. But I think if he can cut that down, Bulldogs have a great chance here tonight. San Jose State is coming in here pretty good, and with I think they're 5-2, and you know we're 4-3. So you need this to stay in the race at least for the conference championship. You're only 1 game out at this point. This is your rival. It's homecoming, blackout night, Ron Cox, 5:00, True TV, you know, all that fun stuff that goes with it. You know, if Mikey cuts down the turnovers and the Bulldogs can stop the run. You know, I think the Bulldogs have a good shot to win. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring affair at all. I think it's one of these, 24-17 type games. I don't see it in the 30s or 40s or anything crazy like that, though.
Well, kind of like Nevada last week, right? Like a 24-21 type game.
Yeah. And if you got to win ugly. It really doesn't matter. I mean, at this point, you're not going to be ranked. So just get the job done make Ron Cox and homecoming people happy and you'll get out of there with a W, man. That's all that matters. But Mikey needs to cut down on the turnovers. Priority number one.
Yeah, it is. I agree. And I'd like to see Bryson Donaldson get the football some more. I mean, that guy's absolutely impressive from Central Valley Christian. We always root for our local guys. Ron Cox is definitely one, Washington Union. I remember reading about him in the Fresno mm-hmm. Bee, Washington Union, and you know, Pat Hill just raves about him. He was an offensive line coach when Ron Cox was there. And he said, man, when we go against ones, he's like, man, my offensive line, you know, he'd get roughed up because Ron Cox would just bull rush him. He was just so strong. He says his hands were so big that, you know, there was hardly anything that, you know, the offensive lines could do. So, the tradition runs deep with, you know, with Valley guys and him. So that's going to be a fun night. All right, so Tim Skipper, I want to ask you just how great of a guy he is, and he's a Bulldog guy through and through. So, what do you love about Skip taking over?
His passion. Jeff Tedford has kind of groomed him for this opportunity. His passion is preparation. We all know he wants the job. And if he does, hopefully he'll have it for a long time. I just think, you know, this is somewhere that, you know, after making multiple stops at different places all over the country, that, you know, he's where he wants to be and take this thing over permanently. I think having an interim tag looming over your head isn't all the greatest, but, you know, that's just what needs to be done right now. But his passion for the program, for the Central Valley, for wanting to continue a legacy of success that Fresno State's had over the years, I think is the biggest thing. I just love, he's always got a smile on his face. He's always positive. And I think that he relates to these kids a lot. You know, he played here obviously for Coach Hill and I think that he can just continue to grow into the position. You know, there's going to be ups and downs and we've seen them this year already, but, I think that, and if he is given the opportunity, you know, and take that interim tag off, I think he'll be one of the great coaches we've ever seen around here.
Well, we hope so. His interviews are incredible. When Paul Leffler interviews him. He's just always positive. He's up, but yet he knows what needs to be done, right? When it's business time, it's business time. I don't think I've ever seen a head coach smile as much as him, right? A lot of times you get these grumpy coaches, and they don't give very good sound bites, but Skip is an amazing guy, and we definitely are rooting for him and for the Bulldogs tonight. So you hit a little bit, George, about some of the great high school athletes that you've been able to interview over the years.
Yeah.
You mentioned McKay Christensen, right? Jamie Southern. I mean, we could just go on and on. Personally, either watched on the diamond or, you know, on the basketball court, who's the best athlete pound for pound that you've ever witnessed?
In high school.
Yeah.
Ricky.
Covering
Mann.
High school or watch Ricky. Wow. Okay.
Ricky Mann. Absolutely. Just Edison, quarterback, defensive back. They played baseball, you know. Could have played both sports at UCLA. Then he went to UCLA and actually got drafted by the Twins. So had a great career there. But high school-wise, you knew Edison was going to win. It was him and Clifton Smith. What a tandem. But Ricky was just different. Fast, smart. You know, threw a great deep ball. His coverage, you know, it would be funny to see Ricky pick it off and then throw a bomb for a touchdown in like the span of 5 minutes. You know, and that's what he did. And then on the diamond, you know, he's fast. You know, stole a lot of bases, hit for average, hit for power. So, he was just one of the most well-rounded high school athletes I ever covered. And then Deshaun Stevenson was amazing. You know, for Washington Union basketball, just electric. Those games in Easton were just so much fun to cover because it's just so damn loud in there. And they just had a lot of fun, Demetrius Porter and Deshaun Anderson. But Stevenson was the ringleader, and he was just electric. And we knew he was going to the pros, and he did. Those two guys really, really stick out. Melissa Price, you know, track and field, you know, those kind of Jenna Prandini, you know, those kind of athletes. But really, Ricky and Deshaun are the two guys that – you know, I look back on, you know, if I'm asked this question, those two guys will always pop up in my head first. And then Chris Hernandez, of course, Clovis West basketball, so smart, and just, you know, went to Stanford from Clovis West. And, you know, they didn't lose too many games. And he's one of the smartest basketball players I've ever seen. So those three guys for sure.
All right, George, you know I can't end a conversation with you without talking about some memorabilia, some sports memorabilia, baseball cards, football cards. What's you been hunting anything lately, or huh? You haven't been hunting lately?
No, I don't spend a lot of money on that stuff like I used to. Like, I just finished. So my three all-time favorite athletes are Mitch Richmond, Marcus Allen, and Ricky Henderson. And so I had a goal to, whenever they had like these signing appearances, public appearances, at wherever they were in the state, I was going to go. I bought their jersey. Had him sign it, took a photo with them, frame them, and put them on my wall, my theater, in my house, my media room, if you will. And I got all those done. So those three things are really like prized treasure. You know, three favorite athletes growing up as a kid. Now you've got their autograph, and you take a picture with them, and you put it on the wall. I mean, those three things stand out. Not really cards anymore. And then I do have an autograph. A letter from Coach Tarkanian thanking me for all the coverage. It was balanced and fair. Appreciate it. And he just signed it, Jerry. And then I have that framed on my wall in my office at home. You know, autographed stuff from Josh Allen, his Wyoming helmet. The week before he got drafted by the Bills, he came to Reedley College and signed a bunch of stuff for us and didn't know how good he was going to be. He hasn't even thrown an interception yet this year.
No.
Thanks, George.
Crazy.
Go Tigers. Autographs from Derek and David Carr. And Paul George just signed a jersey for me a few weeks ago and said, "You're my guy, always will be my guy, Paul." You know, that kind of stuff's really special because it just shows all the relationships you've had, especially from the local guys. And then autograph from Coach Hill, that meant a lot to me. So a lot of things I have. You come by the office at my house and check it out, Paul, as long as you let me see your Star Wars collection at your house one day.
Yeah, that's a deal. You gotta call it the George Chicago Sports Museum, man. You gotta charge some admission and make a little money on the side to check out all your cool stuff.
I do have some cards, but they're in boxes. Like, why do you buy something for $300 and you put it in a box and you don't see it? Just so stupid. So I stopped doing that.
Fair point. All right, George. Thank you for coming on, man. Always great to catch up with you and talk sports, and Have a good weekend, my friend. We'll catch up soon.
You too, Paul. Keep up the good work, man. Appreciate you.
All right, appreciate you. All right, we'll take a break here. We got some Clovis East Timberwolves football players in the house, Ty Miller and some of his friends. Can't wait for you guys to hear all about their season so far, what makes them click, and get to know their personalities as well. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. I'd like to wait till the real beat drops and songs like that. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. We got Clovis East Timberwolves in the house right now. They defeated Buchanan 42-11 last night. I'm going to take on Clovis North next week for a track title, number one seed on the line. It's a game that we are hyping up. We're going to have on 1430 ESPN right now. We got Ty Miller, Josh Wilson, and Jack Nelson, guys that I've seen on the field play, but now I get to see your real faces instead. I just, you know, see your numbers, see you guys making tackles and wrecking havoc all over the field. So, first of all, guys, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, so Coach let you sleep in a little bit this morning, like let your bodies recover?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I did. It was nice, especially last night. I mean, it was a physical game. I mean, emotional game, but it was – it'd be great to be able to sleep in this morning, especially.
Good call. So Buchanan, right? A physical team, right? You know they're going to get after it. Got some big boys. So last night, who balled out? Like, who played really well? So Ty, I know you always like to deflect things, right? So give your teammates some love. So who played really well last night?
Defense really stepped up. They got two big fourth down stops. Tristan Kircher came up big with two picks. Our DBs, O'Shea and Tay Mill, they had it locked down all night. So, yeah, I think that was great. O-line was playing sick, and they really stepped up. Blake Matthew had three touchdowns. Overall, I think we did solid.
All right, Josh, what about you? Like, how do you think the game flowed, and how did you play?
Yeah, I think it flew well. It was an offense we haven't seen before. They did some – threw some different stuff at us, played a lot of empty. We had to adjust to, especially in the beginning of the game, played a little rough, but – we were able to fix it toward the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, and we were able to come up with some good stops, like you said, on fourth down. Had some good stops, some interceptions, turnovers, definitely helped us out a lot.
Sure. Jack, you're playing a lot of defense this year, obviously. You playing on offensive line or just purely defense?
Just defensive line.
Just defense, and then Josh, you too, right? Just
yeah.
pure linebacker and defensive end for Jack, right? Well, so.
Sir.
Am I right on that?
Yes,
yeah, a little bit of Wildcat, though.
A little bit of Wildcat. I want to get to that in just a second because I've seen you move all over the field. So, Jack, defensively, like, how do you guys think you played? Like, what was the key? How did you guys execute?
I think we played pretty well. As Josh said, they played a different offense than what we're used to. A lot of empty, a lot of pulling guards, a lot of different stuff we haven't seen very much. And I think that we did very well adapting to this new offense that we haven't really seen. I think the defense played really well with, as he said, O'Shea and Tristan doing a great job locking up their wide receivers and making sure that, you know, they didn't throw the ball very well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you guys did you've done a great job all season. Defensively, like, what do you guys think was the play of the game? Like, was there a big hit one of you guys delivered or one of your teammates? Or
I think it was that fourth down stop in the red zone because they tried to do like a little trick play, like an outside sweep, and I think our defense did a really good stopping him in the red zone and making sure we kept that score as down as possibly low as it possibly could.
Ty, offensively, like who found the end zone?
Oh, Blake Matthew was.
They got the three, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys have a nickname for him? You don't have a nickname for Blake?
We call him Balake.
Balake, from the famous skit, right? I like it. So. I think Lindsey Graves is a little banged up, right? Wasn't able to carry the rock. So any running back stepped up for you guys?
Yeah, Tamil Horton, he came out, and he was just on fire, running super tough. He had a ton of yards on the ground. I think he had two touchdowns. He ran really well for he played a little bit of receiver for us, and then he was just asked to step up and play some running back, and he did great. And then Tyrone Bishop, he's just a monster.
He doesn't
go down. And that's really it's really hard for defenses when you're like, you think you have him at 2-3 yards, and he just powers through 8-9 yards and just carries everyone on his back. So
Number eight?
Yeah, number eight.
Number eight. When number eight goes in the game, you know he's gonna put his head down and get those tough yards. So where's the cool hangout spot after games, right? When I go to La Monica Stadium, sometimes I don't leave by like 11, 11:15. I'm driving down Herndon, and I see that long line at In-N-Out. So I know that's kind of a hot spot. Is there where do you guys go?
Well, I mean, it kind of really depends where we're at. You know, if we're at Veterans, you got the In-N-Out right there. You're kind of there. If you're at La Monica, your go-to is Cane's maybe.
Cane's is open late?
Yeah, they are. They're open till, I don't even, it's like 1.
Like, maybe. one or two in the morning, I think. It's like 2.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But In-N-Out, you guys don't brave that line sometimes, or
It's a lot of, I mean, most of the people just standing there, just like talking.
Okay.
No one's really eating, but.
Okay. Yeah. So this year, obviously, a magical year so far. 9-0. Ever since that first game in Utah, with all the travel, and you get that late field goal, you guys have just been playing lights out football. What's been like the most memorable moment or memorable play, or maybe it wasn't even something on the field? Like, has there been something that has kind of united all you guys this year?
I think it was probably that game winning kick against Utah, because like it showed us that holy crap, this might be a special year, because we went all the way to Utah. You know, it was a long fly. We were up. Woke up super
early. Like at 4 or 3:30 in the morning, right?
Yeah, it was like super
ungodly
early
hour,
and just like, and this like brought the, like, once we kicked that game winning field goal, this way we're like, holy crap, you know, and just like, brought the team together and realized we could be something special as long as we keep working hard and we stay a team like we are. You know what I'm saying? It just brought the whole team together, just showed us what this team could possibly be.
Yeah. Has there been a play on the field, like, you know, like an amazing play? What's one play that maybe you guys have seen like, man, that was even impressive.
Was it that kick return against Central, maybe?
Yeah, I think lot of kick returns that we've had, and like
teams.
Our special teams showing out, and like this guy has, I don't even know how many punt blocks. So many athletic plays, and our receivers going and just getting balls out of the air, snatching head tops, and just like playing super physical, and just even just like when they're blocking, they're just playing bully ball on the outside, just fighting for every yard. And I think just that the physicality and the drive that our receivers have, and then a lot of, like, last year we didn't have very many explosive runs. We've had plenty of explosive runs this year, and it's really relieved us in so many ways, and so that has really also helped like bring our team together and make us like full and complete.
Yeah, and they're like, just watching your show, I'm standing on the sidelines. I'm like, oh, here we go. We got Harold going on a go route. Here comes Ty throws the ball up. I'm like, oh no, perfect, right in the bread basket every single time. It's like, oh no, oh no, oh,
here it comes.
Perfect throw, touchdown, perfect spot. It's just amazing to watch all the time.
All right, well, I actually want to start with Ty on this, because when I, you know, Ty's been on the show, this is probably like your fourth time talking, first couple times you're a little nervous, but now you're a pro at it, man. Like, a lot of media attention, let's be honest, right? A lot of media attention, but you always deflect, right? You always like, it's about the team. You've done that, you know, ever since your freshman year. I want you to talk about these two guys to your left and what you appreciate them, because these are defensive studs out there. You're obviously the quarterback of the team, but what do you appreciate when you watch those guys take the field?
Man, I just think they're great leaders, and the way they vocally get the team rallied up and together, and just the way they show it physically, like so many hard hits, just flying around with their hair on fire, and believe it or not, it like really inspires our offense. Like, when we see them flying around making plays, we're like, oh yeah, let's go, let's do it. Like, it gets us hyped up, and then just like keeping us in games and keeping games like with not close. Like last year, we played Central and it was like a shootout, but we can rely on our defense to step up and like in big moments this year. And I attribute it to them being leaders and playing hard and not giving up on plays.
Josh, we'll start with you. What do you appreciate about when you watch Ty? What he brings to the program?
When I watch Ty, he's never negative. He's always positive, no matter of throws an interception. Oh, he's like, okay, I mean, turn the page. I mean, I know you get down about it sometimes, but you got to turn the page, and Ty's great at that, great leader. I mean, on the field, off the field, great friend. I mean, it's just anything you can ask for, basically.
Jack, what about you? What do you appreciate about this guy?
Kind of piggyback off of him, you know. Obviously, Ty's a great football player. You know, you see him, we're mesmerized by his play style, just what he can do on that football field. But even off of it, you know, defense, you know, we might have messed up, let up a touchdown, you know, might mess up from drive. We come off the field, and he's ready just to support us. You know, hey, nice job. You guys can get him next time, you know. Always there to support us, always a great leader. He's a great friend. Always, he's just a great leader on this football team and just supports every single one of us and just pushes us to keep on getting better. And don't get down on yourself. Even when you mess up, always just be there just to pick you back up. You know what I'm saying?
The ultimate teammate, the ultimate competitor right here, and so are you guys. All right, so let's talk about the three of you together. Like, are all you guys Clovis East through and through? Like, did you guys transfer or help me out here?
Yeah, me and him are from – we played our last 3 years at Buchanan, and then we came over, kind of joined.
Joined voices. Miller. Joined, yeah. Ty Miller. Yeah. Well, when you say the name Ty Miller, everyone just gravitates.
Yeah,
gravitates to Ty. He's that kind of guy.
Yeah,
he's that kind
much.
Of. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the season. You guys got that big game against Clovis North, right? We're going to hype it up. There's going to be some intense practices, probably some intense meetings. Like last year, you know, Clovis East fell to North in that playoff game. And I still believe if you guys had more time, I think you guys are going to come back in that one. But, like, how bad do you want to win this game? Like, do you feel like you know, the whole season's just culminated to this moment, this next week?
Yeah, I think just all the hard work in the off season and everything we've done and building the program and all the summer practices, all the practices this season has put us in this position and allowed us this opportunity. And, like, just I could still remember the moment from last season, the season ending, and how sad all the seniors were and how, like, awful it felt. And just let that carry it into this season and all the work we put in. And it's been fun. It's been a great season. But there's still a lot to do. And I think that's just really helped us out in practicing and just remembering that feeling and remembering what we're playing for.
Defensive guys, all right, Jack and Josh. Defensively, I want to know what's going on through your mind, right? You know, I know – Josh, you got a lot of freedom on the football field. You can move around at different spots. When you're lined up against a dude, just kind of what goes through your mind when the play is about to be snapped? What's going through your mind, and you know how pumped up and how and you know knowing that it's going to be a physical play? Like, what's kind of going through your mind?
I mean, kind of going through my mind is my job. Like, what do I need to do? Like, where am I lining up in the correct spot? Do I know what I'm doing? Being able to not, like, play selfless, basically, and being able to, even if I don't make the tackle, you know, Jack's there, or I spill it to our safety, or just basically being able to know what I'm doing, know my job, and if it's my time, it's my time. If it's Jack's time, it's his time. If it's my safety's time, it's his time. I mean, it's being all around, basically.
So. What goes through your mind?
It's kind of the same thing. As a defensive lineman perspective, it's almost a little bit scary when you have two huge offensive guards, offensive tackles. Like last night, you know, I had big old Brandon Walton, Fresno State commit, line up right against me. And you just kind of think, like, not only do I have to do my job, obviously, kind of like that, and just you have to know to do my job for not only for me, like as you said, for all my teammates around me. Because if I don't do my job, I may screw over my other teammates. So I gotta think of how I gotta utilize my technique to defend myself and my teammates from two giant linemen.
Well, why don't you take on the lineman, and then Josh can come and make the tackle, and then he gets all the glory.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, I see how that is. But it works out. Works out well. All right, so we got a couple minutes here, man. Time is absolutely flying. Like, who's got the, like, let's just say the worst. Who's got the worst taste in music on the team?
Oh, gosh.
You guys are calling out some guys right now.
Oh, my goodness. No comment.
No comment?
Yeah, I think we're hard about this now.
Yeah, this is a tough question.
Probably one of the coaches.
Oh, there you go. All right, just say one of the coaches. You don't have to give names. That way the coaches, if they're listening, are like, could it be me? Is it is it country? You guys are probably country guys, right? Yeah, like, that's not terrible.
No, I like country. It's like, it's when we're at practice and they just, like, throw on a playlist and it's like,
dude, what are we listening to?
I've been to some of your practice, and I've heard some of that music too, so I know where you're at, right? It's just kind of thumping in the background. You're like, oh, what is this stuff?
Yeah,
this
yeah, stuff. Like, stuff to... We got Beethoven playing up in the background. Playing on Team 2. We got, like, soft music going. I'm like, oh, come on now.
They're trying to put you in different scenarios. That's probably what they're trying to do. All right. So last question here, guys. What is the end goal? I know you guys are seniors, right? You're all seniors. Like the journey, right, is part of it. You guys have already created memories together, right? But like, what would be the perfect end goal to the season, Ty?
I think playing as long as possible with these boys, like, I love playing with this team, and I don't want it to end, and it's been a magical season. And I just think just being able to week after week just get – and with playoffs coming up, just getting one more week, just as many weeks as we can get.
And playoffs are different this year. There's no bye week, so you guys are stepping in and playing in a couple weeks already. So for Jack and Josh, like, what would be a perfect end of the season for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, perfect end for the season basically would be, like Ty was saying, 1-0. I mean, that's all we look for every single week through and throughout. But as well as being able to keep everyone healthy. No injuries. Luckily, I mean, we have a couple little here and there. But being healthy and then play sound football as well. So,
kind of the same thing as Josh said. The perfect end goal would be to play as long as possible and not no one get injured, because me and Josh are both new here to Clovis East, and as soon as I got here, the culture has just been amazing. I've loved this culture here. I love every single person on this team, the coaching staff, the players, everything about this football team I love, and I want it to last as long as I possibly can while I still can.
Great answer. And then, right, hopefully win a Central Section Championship, a track championship, go get some canes or some In-N-Outs after the game
the
and have some fun. That is the plan. Hey, good stuff, guys. Appreciate you guys coming in. I wish we had a little bit more time to talk, but good luck. Good luck this week, man. It's going to be a heck of a football game.
Thank you, sir. It's going to be a battle.
All right. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Jorge Rodriguez for producing the show, Mike Jaycott, Austin Kemp, George Takata, Ty Miller, Josh Wilson, and Jack Nelson. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you all. We'll talk to you next week.